Welcome to the Small Batch edition of Pop Culture Happy Hour, NPR's podcast about what we are watching, reading, and listening to. I'm Glenn Weldon. I write about books and comic books for the NPR website. I'm joined here today by Katie Pressley. Katie, what do you do when you're not doing what you're now doing?
I am with NPR Music. More specifically, I work with All Songs Considered, the podcast and blog.
Excellent. The End of the Tour is a new film about a series of interviews the writer David Lipsky conducted with the late David Foster Wallace for Rolling Stone, though the interviews weren't published. He did publish them later as a book called Although, Of Course, You End Up Becoming Yourself in 2010 after Wallace's death. The film stars Jesse Eisenberg as Lipsky and Jason Segel as David Foster Wallace. Katie, let's begin by talking about our respective takes on David Foster Wallace. How did you come to him?
I took a 14-hour road trip to and from Albuquerque, New Mexico last fall with a dear friend who is a very strong DFW fan. Mm-hmm. I sat down in a car, not having read a word of David Foster Wallace, and my friend put on the book on tape or book on iPod of Consider the Lobster, which is a collection of essays that David Foster Wallace wrote and then read himself. So 9 hours of this, I emerged from that road trip ready to wear a WWDFWD bracelet. Every opinion I had for the next month, actually the first thought I had was, man, I would love to read a Dave Wallace essay on this.
Yeah. See, that's the thing. I prefer his essays to his fiction. Mm-hmm. I came to him in 1992. He had a short story in Best American Short Stories. Mm-hmm. It was called Forever Overhead, and it was about a 13-year-old kid who has to go and climb up the high dive and has the internal sort of conflict about that. And I remember reading that and thinking, this is a tour de force. I then read an essay of his about television in the Review of Contemporary Fiction in 1993 called Unibus Plurum, which is in the collection called A Supposedly Fun Thing I'll Never Do Again, which is this brilliant thing. Imagine reading in 1993 somebody's talking intelligently about television like it's a real thing. It's about the connection of contemporary American fiction and television. It was taking it seriously, had this wonderful riff about MTM and how it crossed over St. Elsewhere and Mary Tyler Moore crossed over. It was excellent. It was exactly what I wanted to do. And then A Supposedly Fun Thing I'll Never Do Again, which is an essay he wrote about going on a cruise. That's the thing that solidified him for me. That is the thing I keep going back to read. I also have read Girl with Curious Hair, Room of the System, and Infinite Jest. Wow. I don't react to his fiction as strongly as I do his nonfiction.
He has a lot of readers because he demands so much of his readers that you need a password to access it.
Sure.
My understanding of the legacy is if you have the privilege of the time it takes to read a 1,000-page book, power to you. Mm-hmm. If you don't, you are still infinitely worthy of consideration and anybody's attention, specifically David Foster Wallace's attention. I think there's a cafe scene between Lipsky and Wallace, and they're still really figuring each other out. And Wallace says, he's talking about the waitress, and he says, if I believed for a second that this waitress was not worth my consideration, I would be a worse writer. Mm-hmm. And so when there are readers of DFW that disagree with that, I think that is the worst kind of betrayal of the work. Segel did not let me down, by which I mean he did a very good job acting, but there is no perfect performance of DFW for me. As I said, I started with his voice. So like, if it's not his voice, it's not the perfect voice.
Sure.
I was a little worried that I would watch this movie and find it impossible. It would be impossible for me to say it was a good movie. And it was a good movie. It misstepped sometimes, and I question its very existence because it is in contrast, such strong contrast to the Trust's wishes. But I did appreciate.
Okay, you appreciated it. What are some of the missteps? Is it Eisenberg? Did he work for you?
My problems with Eisenberg were actually pretty well summed up by a New Yorker review of the movie that Richard Brody wrote, in which he pointed out that the misdirection or lack of direction of Eisenberg negatively affected the way that Segel could possibly portray Wallace. His specific point was that Lipsky is more of a dude than he was in the movie.
Right.
And Eisenberg played him as complete New Yorker, black trench coat, kind of nervous, fast talking, lots of questions, really transparent jealousy that forced Segel's Wallace to be kind of a bumbling Midwestern big brother. Also, the way that Eisenberg played that character with these rapid-fire questions, lots of interrupting, made the responses that Lipsky really got and that appear in the book seem completely unplausible. No matter how gracious Wallace was, there is no way that the questions as Eisenberg delivered them would have gotten the gracious responses that Wallace gave. So clearly something was lost in translation.
Well, that's interesting. I got the sense that they were just turning up the volume on everything because they were compressing so much. So, for example, the jealousy that exists between these writers, or that's actually kind of unidirectional, from Lipsky to Wallace, it's in the book, but it's not this theme. It doesn't hit you over the head. It's really strong here because, as you point out, it's going in that one direction, and it's being telegraphed so clearly. I didn't have a particularly strong reaction to the film. It did do a lot of writing about writing and talking about writing and writers and writers and writers, and it was very male. It was very, they're of course not particularly bro-y, but I get what you're saying. It is very about competition, and at one point there's some sexual jealousy, and it just felt, this is not the kind of film I would ever see. Biopics about writers, no thanks. So it seemed like it was a little heavy-handed when I wanted it to be a little bit lighter. But I mean, it's sort of this weird writerly My Dinner with Andre. That's what I think what they were going into it with. They wanted it to be this film about discussions and big ideas and philosophies. And to a certain extent it was, but it, you know, it's one of those things that kind of dissolved on my eyeballs as soon as it was over.
Yeah. One of the last scenes, Lipsky is just about to leave Wallace's house, and Wallace goes out to scrape the ice off his car, and Lipsky frantically goes through his house and invades it, really. He goes into every room and he just is taking notes into his recorder to remember things. He goes into the bathroom, he's like looking at the medicine cabinet, and then he goes to the office and he sees the work. He sees the processor. He sees a stack of papers. The lamp is shining on the papers. And I think that that scene hit it on the nose more maybe than the movie thinks it does, because I think you're supposed to think it's invasive. Like, bro, he's your friend. Here's your friend scraping out the driveway so you can drive away. And here you're going through his medicine cabinet. It was hard for me not to make parallels to here's this movie about pop culture and a writer on the brink of having to accept his fame, which was an obsession of Wallace's writing, was the way that people buy into pop culture and are consumed by it. It was a gross scene, and it was supposed to be gross, but it was grosser than it meant to be. So in some ways, it got it exactly right, and it kind of got it too right.
Right. So would you recommend it to somebody?
I would. Yes.
Yeah.
This is the ultimate thing about this movie. If a single person is driven to the writing, which is what his family and friends wanted. That was their main argument, was go to the writing. Dave would not want to be played by a Hollywood star. That would be his greatest nightmare, go to the writing.
Absolutely.
If a single person goes to the writing, this movie can't have been a waste of time.
Yeah, I'd recommend it to people who are more interested in a writer's life than their writing. I definitely, that writer is hugely important to me, but I should say it's his writing. At the end of the day, it's his writing.
Yeah.
Full episodes of Pop Culture Happy Hour are available every Friday on iTunes or from your favorite podcast provider or at npr.org. Thanks, Katie.
Thank you.